Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We are back with activist and Hollywood executive Adrian Finkel. She's an author, photographer, creative brains behind the ongoing Naked Truth Project. Her book about the Naked Truth was started on sale September 25th, Citadel Press. And so how is it going with this? And can you tell us whatever caused you to write a book called The Naked Truth? Welcome, Adrian.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. The project, which is originally a project, kind of a blog that turned into a book, started about 5 or 6 years ago when I was feeling a little bit lost and kind of trying to learn a little bit more about myself. I had moved out to LA to be an actress, and I wasn't really finding happiness in that field. And I started kind of exploring other fields and was still kind of feeling like I didn't really have much of a calling. And it was really frustrating to me because I'm pretty type A and pretty driven. And when I had always been a collector of quotes and words that kind of, that at any time I would hear something that I was like, oh, that I find really inspirational, or like, wow, I really connect to that, I would write it down ever since I was a kid. And so I have this kind of book that's a compilation of all of the quotes and words and pieces of advice that have been given to me over the years that I really turn to in times of need. And at that time, I kind of felt really helpless, and I didn't think any of that advice worked for where I was currently at in my life. And so I reached out to friends and started asking them for words of wisdom and pieces of advice that really helped them grow or get out of something, some sort of rut. And it turned into what this project is, and now this book is.
So you started listening to your friends when you were lost.
Yes.
That's a good one. That's really good.
Easy thing to say to do, but yeah. To reach out when you're not, when you're feeling down. And, you know, and the funny thing is it ended up not being so much about me, but about allowing people a space to come and talk and share what they've been through. And in learning about all of these people, friends, which eventually turned into their friends and strangers and family members, through their growth, I grew as well.
So, Adrian, were you a photographer before you started this wonderful journey?
Yes, I had dipped into the world of photography in the past few years before I had started the project, but I was getting more and more involved in it. When I realized that I wanted to like explore other opportunities outside of being an actor, I started taking photography lessons at my local photography store or camera store, and through that, I practiced on, by taking pictures of a lot of my friends. And I figured while I was in this process of asking for advice from people, it'd be fun to photograph their pieces of advice or their confessions with the words written on them. And so I did it once with a small group of friends, and we ended up posting those pictures on Facebook. And I was getting messages like, I want to do this. I want to be a part of your movement. I have stories that I want to share. Or I have a piece of advice that was given to me that I would love to, you know, do this photo for. So as much as I feel like I came up with it, I think in the end, everyone kind of came to me to allow it to grow and become what it is.
I'm trying to picture this, Adrian. Transformative language scribbled across the bodies. All over the bodies? Where?
So it's actually just like, at first I would say like I would write wherever, you know, we feel like it hits most. So if it's something from the heart, or if we're talking about, you know, backstabbing, sometimes we write it on the back. Or, you know, if we're talking about writing, you know, about always remembering to write something down, like we would write on someone's hands. But at the end of the day, you know, most of these words end up kind of being written across the top, you know, the top part of everyone's chest. So if you're wearing a tank top or a tube top, or some people are shirtless, it kind of just depends on what everybody was feeling like bearing in that moment. And that's where we wrote it, because it just seems like to look forward and to look in the camera and share your words, that was the easiest way to do it.
So you connected with loved ones, beautiful strangers, cancer survivors, immigrants, victims of hate and racism, all sorts of people, and just found their personal mantras as well as what really, really was their springboard forward, or what was holding them back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that, you know, you we hear about, you know, all that's going on in the world, but to sit across from someone and ask them to share their story, people aren't walking around all the time being like, oh, this happened to me, or, oh, I was a victim of, of some sort of racism, a racism rant, or I was a victim of, a very disturbed childhood. People don't really share those things. You hear about them, but, it was so nice to literally just open up the space for someone to come in and talk about whatever they wanted to talk about. So sometimes people were talking about, how they didn't feel like they fit in this world and in our culture, and other people were talking about if, maybe they fell in love, or maybe they finally found their calling and it was in the weirdest place that they had never thought of. So it really became a space where people could just share, and sometimes they were stories of triumph and sometimes they were stories of loss, and it just depended on who was sharing at the moment.
In your mind, Adrian, what was the common thread?
The common thread was that we are all going through something, that conversation can really help anyone out of a rut. I think sometimes when we're sad or feel really stuck, we want to share less. And I think, there were moments that I was going through this project where I was really, really depressed, and I would have a 12 p.m. session to come meet with, for someone to come do the project with me, and I would dread it. And then after the session, I would feel immediately better. And I think connecting to other humans can be such soup for the soul, and we forget that sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And you said when you went through this crisis time in your life where you felt lost and depressed, that all the scribbles and all the words didn't mean that much to you that you'd done up to that point when they were, before or previously, they'd been very important. Do they make sense again?
Yeah, I think they do. I think they all kind of ring true in new ways. And what's really interesting about words and quotes and sayings is, and why I keep all of them, is because our lives are constantly changing. What we're dealing with is constantly changing. Sometimes we're dealing with loss. Sometimes we're dealing with breakups and love. Sometimes we're dealing with, work and struggling with if this is what we want or what makes us happy. So I think that holding on to all of those words, even if they don't serve you now, but if you connect to them at some point in your life, they typically come back around, and if not, they typically end up being great words of wisdom to pass on to others.
I've got some of your great words of wisdom here, and I like them. You can maybe comment on some of them. Let go or be dragged.
Yeah, I really love those words. I think that especially for someone like me and a lot of, I think, type A people who have a vision of where they want to be in their life or who they want to be within their life, and then their life is kind of showing them, well, that's not how it's going to go. I think we all sometimes have a really hard time of letting go of what we wanted and instead of embracing what's shown itself to us, which sometimes is better. So a lot of our stress comes from holding on to an idea of something that doesn't exist and not embracing what is actually right in front of you.
Wow. And you're responsible for your own happiness. And this work that you went through was all work that you needed to go back to your own happiness.
Exactly. Exactly. This whole experience redefined my happiness. My happiness doesn't lie in a job. My happiness doesn't lie in, any sort of career or money-making situation. My happiness lies with people, and I used to think that was like, that wasn't a thing. Like, you can't say that that's what fulfills you is like, sitting with friends, but you know what? You can. Anything, whatever helps you grow and be happy is, it just, you can't, that doesn't lie. So I've now know that for my own mental health, I need to spend some time with real friends, asking questions, listening, and connecting over food or coffee or, whenever I feel like I'm in a rut, to make a plan and not to, isolate myself.
So, Adrian, it sounds like you went back to the people who truly knew you to ground again.
Yeah. And, reconnected with people. This book actually really helped me reconnect with people that I hadn't seen in years that I didn't even know I needed to connect with again. But then we rehashed things from, our past that reminded me of certain times in my life or ways they saw me, where I would have never thought of myself at that time and vice versa. So I think that going back to what you know is really comforting, but also, getting out there and meeting new people can be as exhilarating, even if it's like dating and using, you know, dating platforms, which is a way to have a cup of coffee with a stranger and learn about them. I think that that can be scary, but it can also open us up and help us learn about ourselves.
Wow. And how do you find balance today so that the highs don't get too high or the lows don't get too low?
You know, I think life balances itself out. You know, we have no idea what's coming all of the time. So, you know, I think that I self-care is really important. Always remembering who I am authentically through hard times, which means, like, I know that I need time to myself, and I know that I need to, you know, take a long walk or spend time with my dog or do stuff for me. That sometimes when your life gets crazy and things get busy and all of a sudden we feel completely overwhelmed, we immediately, the first thing we do is stop taking care of ourselves. And through this project, I learned that, you know, with those things, I can get through anything. And I think that seems to be the through line in everything.
So you need a me-first attitude and self-care.
Yes, I think at the end of the day, no one is going to take care of you as much as yourself. And I think we constantly assume people know what we need, but we know what we need, and we need to, you know, own up to those things more than we normally do. It's hard to. People have a hard time taking care of themselves first. So right. It has to be something you're consciously doing.
Absolutely. So I don't get this quote that you have: no legs, no boobs, no problem. What's that mean?
That woman, actually, she lost her legs in an accident.
Mm-hmm.
And when she was in high school, she was in a car accident in the freezing cold, and she lost her legs from that accident. And then I've known her actually pretty much my whole life. And when I reached out to her to do a photo, you know, to tell her story as an amputee, she actually told me that she was dealing with breast cancer at the time. So I told her, you know, she didn't have to be involved in the project if she didn't want to. And she was like, no, I want to share more than ever. So she's, you know, she just wanted to share that she can really deal with anything. And she's an athlete, and she's just a strong woman. And through all those things, through not having legs and not having breasts, she's going to be okay.
Wow. Wow. You've met so many people. When did this project start?
It started in 2011. And at the time, it seems like I've had a million jobs, but I was working in a kitchen. And while I was working in the kitchen, I just started asking people questions, and I had some extra time to take photography classes. And that's kind of where this all came about. And then it kind of expanded over several years. And it has lived in several iterations. And then in the past few years, it actually kind of stopped because I finally found a job that I really love, which is producing television. And so I've been really bogged down with that for the past few years. And then last year, I got a call from a publishing firm that had seen my website, that had the photos all blogged on it. And they were curious about making, you know, these stories into a coffee table book. And I couldn't say no, so I jumped at the chance and kind of dove back in again, which I didn't even realize how much I needed it, but it was perfect timing.
And it all just worked for you. We're going to have to go to a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to learn more of the things that you learned through this journey to the naked truth.